This is the old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the pastor here at Radio Missions, where the Voice of Truth broadcast goes out each week, also the old Trailblazer. And we're just happy to be with you folks at this time, whether it be morning, evening, or night. We're on some new stations now. And one of the things I asked you, if you're hearing us for the first few times, drop me a card or a letter and let me know that you're listening. I'm making a little survey to see if anybody is listening. And if not, we'll close this station up and go somewhere else. We have offers on our desk now for two or three new stations. We just went on one up there in Mount Airy, North Carolina, another over in Norfolk, Virginia, and several more that I can't remember right at this moment. But I wish you'd write me and let me know. And many of our stations now, where we're not getting much response, we may have to close those up and go somewhere else. And it takes money to run these broadcasts, of course, and you know that. So I wish you'd pray with us about it. Would you pray with me about it and ask the Lord for the old Trailblazer? We're looking at a study in the revelation of Jesus Christ, and we were looking there in our last study about the flying eagle, where the eagle was screaming, "Whoa, whoa, whoa," unto them. And we were there for quite a while. And let's pick it up. There about the fifth trumpet, it says, "At the sounding of the fifth trumpet, these woes begin." And here in the ninth chapter, there in the ninth chapter of Revelation, we find we are introduced to the underworld, or to that bottomless pit. And we spoke about that just a moment in our last study, describing hell as a bottomless pit. And from this time forward, the bottomless pit will always be in consideration. In Revelation 11:7, the beast ascends out of the bottomless pit. Revelation 21. Then Revelation 23:20, verse 3, we see Satan bound and cast into the bottomless pit. So here in the ninth chapter, when the fifth angel sounded the trumpet, the underworld begins an invasion of the earth. The demons, who were held prisoners in the bottomless pit, begin to play their part in bringing the wrath of God upon a Christless world. John said, I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. The star referred to here is an angel, because it says to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. John saw the angel descending so rapidly from heaven as if he were falling. It says that he opened the bottomless pit, and it belched forth upon the earth an army of demons. No wonder the angel cried, "Whoa, whoa, whoa." John said, "There arose a smoke out of the pit, as of a smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke." We see here the picture of the volcano belching forth its smoking ashes, coming from the bottomless pit, which is in the heart of the earth, the abode of demon spirits, who are held prisoners there, seemingly for this particular hour. Then this brings us to this question you may want to ask. Trailblazer, what are demons? Where do they come from? They are not fallen angels. They are disembodied spirits. Everywhere Christ went while on earth, they confessed that they knew him. They knew him as Lord and Monarch of demons, according to Mark 1:24. They know more than the wise men of today know, according to Proverbs 9:10. Everywhere you turn today, men are denying the virgin birth of the Lord, and the authority of God's Word, and the Lordship of Christ as Savior. These demons confessed him as the Son of the Most High, there in Mark 5:7. In Matthew 8:29, they besought him not to command them to go into the bottomless pit before their time. Demon spirits are vicious, Luke 8:29, vile and wicked, unclean, rebellious. They take up their abode in humanity and in other living creatures, like there in Luke 8:33. They cause sickness, according to Samuel 16, and deformity, insanity. They drive men against God to commit suicide. They manifest themselves in the hatred of God's Word by turning men against God and against Christ. They hinder sinners from getting saved. And the outstanding manifestation of demon possession today is the lust of the flesh manifested in the sin of adultery and fornication. What is a prevalent sin of this day in which you and I live? What is a prevalent sin of the world? Fornication, lust, homosexuality, beastliness, in all of those things, my friend. Listen now, we hear on the news, on the radio, on the TV, in the newspaper now, of men having sexual intercourse with animals, beastly, and all of these cult things and demonic worship things. And you and I probably know very, very little of what goes on in those things. But it's the prevalent sin of the day is lust. Is lust. Satan in control of our people from the time they're born on up. And I know what I see on the streets today. Our women dressing so contemptuously in the sight of God, causing men to sin because of their ungodly clothing. And I tell you, mothers, you have a young daughter that wears these kind of clothes like these movie stars and people are promoting now, where there's nothing at the bottom and nothing at the top, going around with their belly button showing with a ring in it or a clothes straight pin or safety pin in every place you can put one. You better take hold to your daughter, and you better take hold to your son, my friend. This world is being given over to lust and pleasure and debauchery and fornication. Now, 6 out of 10 marriages now are ending in divorce before 5 years. A judge told me recently he couldn't understand it, but I understand it because there's no love. Lust is the term of the day, not love. Every TV show that I see anything about in the newspaper, I don't have television, so I don't watch those things. But every show now is designed to spread. There's nothing but lust, and it's all the backbone of it is lust, because people go there. And I see on the highways, adult movies and adult this and adult that. All it is pornography. Men, old foggy-eyed fool men with their mind twisted, go in there and watch those things because it's thrilling, it's exhilarating, but it's lust. Lust of the flesh. Now, my friend, you know what to stop all that? A new heart. A new heart. But we see here now, let's look at this demon scourge and its results. We're going to see what happens when these demons are turned loose. It says they will come out of the bottomless pit. You may foo-foo this message. You may foo-foo the old trailblazer. But this is God's word I'm bringing you. This is God's inerrant, unbreakable, spoken word of God. He says they will come out of the bottomless pit, and that smoke which shrouds them will be as the smoke of a great furnace. Smoke is associated with a place of torment. We're told in Genesis 19 that when Sodom was destroyed, it was as the smoke of a great furnace. Oh, listen, let's talk about Sodom for just a minute. For just a moment, think back with me. Oh, you may not believe God's word, but Sodom and Gomorrah, two great cities of the plain, were destroyed. Why? Why? Because God, the smell, the stink of sin came up into his nostrils. And he destroyed those because of the homosexuality. Look there what happened when Lot, when those men came there and surrounded Lot's house, and they wanted to come in because the two angels was there. And Lot, poor old Lot, I don't understand, and maybe I'll find out one of these days, but Lot offered them his daughters, and they would not have them. They wanted the men. They wanted those angels who were men. And the Lord had to strike them blind. The Lord smote them with blindness so they could not see how to tear in and get in the door. And the angels, literally, you see how, Lord, you see how folks don't want to be saved, don't want to be rescued. They had to literally drag Lot and his two daughters and his wife out of the city, outside the city, and told them, don't look back. Don't stop. Keep going. Poor old Ms. Lot. she looked back, and she turned into a pillar of salt because she disobeyed God's word. And I was reading in this morning about old Saul. Saul went down and was supposed to destroy all of those things of the Amalekites. But he brought back the king, and he brought back the best of the spoils, the sheep and the goats and the calves. And he said, the people, when Samuel confronted him, he said, the people, we don't want to take the blame, do we? We don't want to take the blame. And then he says, I thought, but Samuel said, better to obey than to sacrifice. Oh, my friend, day after day, as I stand behind my pulpit, I have folks who believe that they can do something to be saved. They can give away something to be saved. They can bring something to the Lord, some kind of self-righteousness. No, but they can't. But listen, we're told there in Genesis 19, when Sodom was destroyed, it was the smoke of a great furnace. And then in Revelation 14, we'll find the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. Isn't that an awful statement? This smoke is so dense until it completely eclipses the sun. And this awful blood brood of locusts, demons which came forth to torment them. They had demons. Listen, they had power, John tells us, as the scorpions of the earth have power. These locusts, demons, are not to hurt the grass or the trees. They're not to kill anybody, but they're to torment the inhabitants of the earth for 5 months, which is the life of an ordinary locust. Oh, my friend, over and over again, he states that the torment will be the torment of a scorpion when it striketh a man. The pain will be so severe until men will seek to die but cannot find it. They will pray to die and can't. Death will flee from them. And I wish you'd read closely the description given here of these demon locusts. Go back there and read it again. Like the horses prepared unto battle, and on their head were crowns like gold, and their faces were the faces of men. They had hair of a woman, teeth of a lion, breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings were the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. What creatures! Oh, can you just imagine, my friend? I wonder if Paul was referring to such creatures there in Romans 8:38 when he penned these words. Listen, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. I know these are strange creatures, and I do not stagger at God's word when he tells us about them. Do you? Being a child of God, I believe God's word. Oh, it may blow my mind, as it were, the description of these locusts. But you know what's encouraging to me? I won't be here. I won't be here, my friend. Will you? Will you be here? You say, oh. But listen, these things are going to take place, literally going to take place during the tribulation period. And the Bible tells us that those in the grave, the graves will be opened first, and then we which are alive will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Oh, and then these folks say, no, we're going through the... Well, they must be getting ready for those things if they believe we're going through the tribulation period. But not so, my friend. Ask the Lord to clear your heart and clear your mind and let you see the terrible things as we go forward. That's the reason the Lord laid on our hearts to bring you these messages. These are terrible things. We see many things happening on this world today. The terrorists and all of those things. Mass killings and all. But that would be just a drop in the bucket compared to the rule of the Antichrist and all of those things. The old trailblazer, I wish you'd write me. Let me know where you're listening. Give me the call letters of the station and help me with the broadcast. Remember my address, the old trailblazer, post office box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana 70174. Goodbye and God bless you.